This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodl Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
In the news this month, Supernova 1987A begins a new phase and a new class of luminous supernova. When a massive star runs out of fuel in its core, it explodes violently as a supernova, releasing a vast amount of energy and briefly becoming bright enough to be visible from other galaxies. Over several weeks or months, the light from such an explosion gradually fades from view as the expanding shell of debris expands, forming a supernova remnant. The nearest supernova to have been observed in the last few hundred years was spotted in the Large Magellanic Cloud, a dwarf satellite galaxy of the Milky Way, in 1987. Known as Supernova 1987A, the explosion was bright enough to be seen without a telescope. Because this event happened so close in cosmic terms, it has been extensively studied over the last 24 years since the explosion, making this one of the best-studied supernovae to date. Now, for the first time, the transition between two phases of supernova remnant evolution has been directly observed. In the early stages of the expansion of the shell of debris, the light emitted comes mainly from the decay of certain radioactive nuclei created in the explosion itself, mainly nickel-56, nickel-57 and titanium-44. These nuclei are unstable and undergo a transformation to more stable nuclei in a process which releases energy. For a sample of any particular radioactive nucleus, the time taken for half of the nuclei in the sample to decay to a more stable form is known as the half-life. Between 1994 and 2001, observations showed that the decline in light detected from supernova 1987A matched what would be expected from the decay of titanium-44 nuclei. However, continued observations showed that the light output from the expanding remnant began to increase after 2001, with the brightness more than doubling by 2009. In a paper published in the journal Nature on the 23rd of June, an international team led by Josephine Larsson at Stockholm University show evidence that this recent increase in brightness is due to the remnant entering the next stage of evolution, a transition which has not been directly observed before, since most supernovae are observed in other galaxies and are just too far away. What their analysis suggests is that this increase in brightness is due to the ejecta, the expanding shell of debris, beginning to interact with the surrounding material. Surrounding the star before its explosion was the pre-existing interstellar material, a tenuous gas which exists between the stars, as well as the gas shed from the star itself in a stellar wind, but also a denser ring of material ejected from the star some 20,000 years before the final catastrophic explosion. Now, 24 years after the explosion was observed, astronomers are watching the outer parts of the ejecta starting to interact with this denser ring of material. This interaction is causing the ring to brighten across the entire electromagnetic spectrum, and this increase in brightness shows that there must be a new source of energy, other than just radioactive decay. Larsson and her colleagues show that the most likely explanation for this brightening is the heating caused by X-rays which are being produced in the collision of the expanding ejecta with the 20,000-year-old ring of stellar material. This is the first time the transition from supernova to supernova remnant has directly been observed, and the researchers suggest that this ongoing transition may reveal more about the structure and chemistry of the progenitor star as the collision moves further into the circumstellar ring. Many hundreds of supernova events are detected each year, both by professional and amateur astronomers. In all known supernovae, the radiation we see comes from energy deposited in the outflowing ejected material by either radioactive decay of elements created in the explosion, heat deposited by the explosion shock in the envelope of the progenitor star, or in the interaction between the debris and slowly moving hydrogen-rich circumstellar material ejected by the star prior to the explosion. But in the same issue of Nature, Robert Quimby and colleagues from the Palomar Transient Factory report observations of a new class of luminous supernovae whose properties cannot be explained by any of these processes. The Palomar Transient Factory, or PTF, is a fully automated wide-field survey of the sky, searching for supernovae and other more exotic transient events. As of today, the project has discovered 1,207 supernovae since it began searching in 2009. Most of these fit with existing models of supernovae explosions, but this new class of supernova contains four newly discovered events from the PTF survey, and two previously unexplained highly luminous supernovae. These events are about 10 times brighter than any known thermonuclear supernova, and are bright in ultraviolet light for an unusually long period of time. The light fades at a rate which is inconsistent with the amount of radioactive elements created in the explosion, and the results from the six supernovae so far discovered suggest that the observed light is emitted by hydrogen-free material distributed over a large radius, some 10 billion kilometres, and expanding at high speeds, faster than 10,000 kilometres per second. Since most stars are made up of mostly hydrogen, This means that these stars must have lost their outer layers some time before the final explosion. Taken together, the properties of these six events do not match any existing class of supernova. Any suggested mechanism for these events must explain the large amount of energy deposited in hydrogen-poor, rapidly expanding material. Two such explanations are proposed by the authors. The first is the explosion of an extremely massive star. Stars with initial masses of between 90 and 130 times that of the Sun are thought to undergo massive pulsations, driving off outer layers of stellar material at high speeds. Such stars evolve quickly and would soon use up their hydrogen, resulting in a core collapse supernova with a surrounding hydrogen-poor environment. The second suggestion is that the peak luminosity could be explained by the energy output from a compact spinning object such as a magnetar. Whatever the cause, these long-lived and luminous events make them excellent targets for high-redshift studies, since they can be seen at great distances. As they light up their surroundings, they could be used to probe star-forming regions and primitive galaxies in the distant universe. And finally, there are a couple of near misses this month, both on Earth and off it. On June 27th, an asteroid the size of a small house came within 20,000 kilometres of the Earth. While this may sound like a long way, it is only about 1/20th of the distance between the Earth and the Moon, close enough to be inside the orbit of some high-altitude communication satellites. Asteroid 2011 MD was only discovered on June 22nd, just 5 days before closest approach, by Linear, a pair of robotic telescopes in New Mexico, which searched the skies for such objects. Luckily for us, even if 2011 MD had entered the atmosphere, it would have burned up in a spectacular fireball rather than causing the kind of destruction often seen in apocalyptic science fiction movies. Only a day later, the crew of the International Space Station had to evacuate the spacecraft due to a passing piece of debris, which was only spotted 14 hours before closest approach. The unidentified object was large enough to cause serious damage to the station, currently home to 6 astronauts, but was spotted too late for the normal avoidance manoeuvres to be made, prompting the crew to take shelter in the attached Soyuz spacecraft as a precautionary measure. Luckily, the object passed within a few hundred metres of the station, and within minutes the 6-man crew were safely back at work.